Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing forces to power. Catch us on Facebook. That's Huntsville Black.
HuntsvilleBlack.com. HuntsvilleBlack.com. They can't stop us. Bringing voices to power.
In this episode of United Voices on the Bringing Voices to Power Network, Deanna and Sherry talk about divide and conquer tactics that are used against us. United Voices will cover all current and relevant issues of concerns to their listeners. The show will be open for callers and will feature guests specializing in every topic. Deanna and Sherry have experience in bringing important issues to the uninformed public and organizing to take action. This show is an opener and will be broadcast on Sundays.
Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon, listeners. How's everybody doing today? Deanna, are you on board?
I am on board.
All right, everybody. Today, we're going to introduce a concept of divide and conquer, and we're going to speak about it from a way that may be shocking or upsetting. I want everybody to understand that what we're trying to do in this show is to bring information so that it can awake the public to a new way of looking at things, a new perspective, so to speak. Deanna? Take it from here, girl.
Well, I'm in agreement totally with this mission that we're on right here, because I think that we have to break down what has happened in order to rebuild a strong people. I just was researching something online, and I wanted to share this. It was a post that was a blog by Emmanuel L. Luska, and I thought it was really, really good. Some of the words that he said: there is nothing absolute or real about social constructions in the same way as there is something absolute and real about rocks, rivers, mountains, and in general, the objects examined by physics. For example, the existence of a mountain is not contingent on collective acceptance, imposition, or agreement. A mountain will exist regardless of people thinking, agreeing, or accepting that it does exist. Unlike a mountain, the existence of race requires that people collectively agree and accept that it does exist. And then he goes on to say, there is nothing that we have identified as race that exists apart from our collective agreement, acceptance, and imposition of it. We are here today to break down those barriers.
Well, I believe that's what you call cognitive dissonance. Isn't that not correct?
Yes, that's correct.
I believe you are an expert in the field of explaining what that term means. If you don't mind, tell our listeners, what is cognitive dissonance?
Cognitive dissonance is pretty much that feeling that you go through when you are faced with the truth of something that you never knew because you held so wholeheartedly to another idea before that moment. Let me try and pull up this definition. Go ahead and keep talking. I'll pull up that definition.
Well, I had a cognitive dissonance moment one time in Nicaragua, so to speak. I was a soldier. I was in Nicaragua on a humanitarian mission. Come to find out, I was there to protect the fields and acres of cannabis being grown there. Now, my cognitive awakening came when a woman literally in the jungle of Nicaragua explained to me how she cured her husband's skin cancer with, some weed by the road, and that she chewed it and spit it on his arm. I was amazed to hear that this woman spit, apparently. I never called her name, or if I did, I don't remember it, but I found the cure of cancer, and it's in this woman's spit in Nicaragua, or it is in the weed, she said, that grew by the road. The reason why it grew by the road is because the army trucks that helped harvest that product would drive down those roads, and then seeds would be dropped, and the residents were safe to scavenge the weed growing in the ditches, but you, by God, better not go into the fields, which is why the soldiers were there, which is why I was there. But that's a story for another day. Now, Deanna, have you got what you need in front of you?
I do. It says that, cognitive dissonance is anxiety that results from simultaneously holding contradictory or otherwise incompatible attitudes, beliefs, or the like, as when one likes a person but disapproves strongly of one of his or her habits.
So what that tells me is that we are told when we go to school what we're to believe, what we are to see, and how we are to interpret that information. And if you see it and interpret it in any other way, you are given an F and you are failed because you are a failure as an indoctrinated slave because you thought for yourself. And is that not one way to look at it?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, the focus of this show today, Divide and Conquer, This is a monumental moment in our history in the United States. We have an opportunity to bust the union, so to speak, of the political leadership that has raped us over the millennia. I am a Bernie Sanders supporter. I openly admit that. The reason why is because I feel like the kind of momentum he could bring to the office with this swell of humanity that is reaching out for someone just to say, please, listen to us, is in the Bernie Sanders movement. Deanna, do you have any comments you would like to say in this arena? I understand it's upsetting to speak about religion in the South and who you're going to vote for, but if I have to see Trump sign when I drive to work, then I'm allowed to say I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, and I support him for the reason that he was an independent this entire time, showing me that no one could buy him. He was in the middle. So when you're in the middle of something, when you go to Sunday dinner, you get both sides of the aisle. You get the dessert, you get the main food, the fried chicken, God forbid it run out of rolls. You get it all.
Yes.
But in this candidate, we are left with someone who has been on the fringe of everything and ignored by everybody. And that creates a fire in a soul. I know it did in mine. So if he is not a phoenix risen to the a phoenix rising to take care of this for us, then I don't see any other choice of candidate except a write-in nomination for Sherry Saunders for president of the United States. Other than that, I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. Deanna, what do you think?
I think that if you are a voter in the United States of America, Bernie is probably the best bet at this point. I personally am not a fan of Trump. I am not a fan of Clinton. And all I can see with those two is that they're going to lead us in the same direction and that we've been going all of these years. And insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result each time. Well, it's time to stop the insanity.
Well, I had an insanity moment. I came to a realization here in the last couple of days. I started thinking back on what has happened in the past year, and I realized that in June we're going to have a one-year anniversary of a massacre in a church where 9 innocent people were slaughtered. The person that sent them to their Lord was a mentally ill young white man who had reached out to an elite rich white publican hate group for someone to come in and envelop him and to educate him and to groom him. Now, I hate to throw it out there as perhaps a shot over the bow, but I'm going to throw it out there and say it like this. What we see today in Trump's campaign, the propaganda and the rhetoric that he is inflaming the United States with is equal to Joseph Goebbels in Germany when he was helping Hitler to take over the world. It is the same techniques that work time and time again. So this is a tried and true technique, folks. I respect Trump for respecting somebody else's campaign that worked. Now, going beyond that, nearly nine months ago, we had a killing that started a race war in this country. 10 minutes after those people were shot, we were told that it was our fault as Southerners, that the rebel flag pulled the trigger, and that all monuments in our city parks that the birds poop on need to come down because, by God, if you walk past it, you're a racist too. And that inflamed an anger in this country that was the beginnings of a race war that we are seeing in front of us today with the election campaigns of these political pundits and idiots. And I'm telling you, I'm left with Bernie. Or I'm writing in myself. I hate to say it, but it's gotten to that point. I hear we have a caller coming into the show. Caller, please announce yourself and tell us what's going on, brother.
Hi. Well, my name is Kevin P. Saunders, and I'm calling from Marina, California, and I'm the co-founder of Coaster Dam Cannabis Collective, and it's really nice to be on your show. I'm a huge fan of both you ladies, and I'm just honored to be on your first show and hopefully first show of many.
Now, Kevin, I am familiar with your story, and I understand your name is Kevin Saunders, and mine is Sherry Saunders, but we don't think we're related to each other, but you are an activist in your state. You take care of what you need to do to save the people's lives that you're working towards. Brother, we got something in common because that's what I do here in Alabama. If you could share your story with the listeners, Deanna, we're just going to let Kevin speak and let him get his story out there. And listeners, I want you to understand that this man is a hero in my eyes because he took every risk that he has needed to take to take a position and take a stand. And right now in this country, it's not time to sit anymore. We're not sitting in anywhere. The time is to stand up. The time is move forward, and we're going to march. And Kevin Saunders, tell us your story, brother.
Well, thank you, Sherry. I really appreciate it. I even though we don't know we're related yet, I feel like we're kindred spirits, and I just wanted to thank you and also inform the listeners that what I'm doing is in California, and Prop 215 was enacted 1997, and I'm only standing on the broad shoulders of the many activists like come before me: Dennis Perone, Steve Covey, Bette Braden. There's a handful of people: Don Duncan, Chris Conrad, and what you're doing and what Deanna's doing in Alabama takes a real special kind of person. And you know, as we know our politics and what Alabama means to African Americans, but what it means to, you know, democracy in America in general. And things move slowly, and they move especially slowly in Alabama. Roll Tide. And I just feel that what you guys are doing takes a real, like I said, a real commitment, because you guys are facing real time as compared to a judicial atmosphere here that frowns upon putting people in jail right now in California for possession, or even cases like mine, which are trafficking. I imagine that if something happened to a person in Alabama and they were targeted, which I'm sure they will be or have been, that the punishments are even more severe. So my hat goes off to you guys. In regards to my story, I am a son of a DEA agent. I attended USC. I've worked on political campaigns. I've been a consultant. I started using medical marijuana at 19, probably to self-medicate. It's allowed me, as a 46-year-old, to at this point just be on things that are prescribed by my doctor. I don't drink. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't exercise every day. But I really find marijuana, medical marijuana, because I believe that's what it really is. I don't really truly believe in a recreational. I believe in everyone's right, but I believe marijuana is, in fact, medicinal. I actually like to use the word marijuana instead of cannabis. It's actually kind of a movement here within California, regardless of its racial, historical implications, and I believe it's kind of a way to kind of push back. I believe it's actually a nicer sounding word than the word cannabis, phonetically, and I like to use the word marijuana just as a way to, like I said, push back. So I was arrested on December 19th, 2013, so it's been over two years and about 4 months. At 11:39 a.m., I was in my car at Starbucks, and I was making a delivery that I've been doing like I've been doing for the last 5 years. And the people that I delivered to, unbeknownst to me, were two undercover drug agents. This was a DEA, FBI, Homeland Security, Monterey, Prevent, and Marina PD operation. So it was three cars, about 10 people. So we can imagine the man hours or the people hours that this required. Mm-hmm. This was a substantial buy. They tried to ask for a pound. I said, no, I can only by law deliver ounces. We like to spread out our medicine. We're a CBD collective. They bought three buys, even though I checked their ID. I did everything right. This was a straight-up political hit. This was an attempt to get a search warrant to then lead into my homes, which would then probably have me think that the least of my worries at that point would be a simple sales case of marijuana. Well, of course, they rolled, you know, goose eggs on the search. I'm not a believer in firearms living in California. I believe I'd feel differently if I lived somewhere else, but I just personally didn't possess firearms. We had no hash oil making on the premises. We make it in San Luis Obispo at the pot lab by a chemist doctor. We were under the plant limits. We had already had our harvest. It was an odd time for them to have a raid. But what it really did is it wiped out my genetics. And anybody that knows the early precursors to Charlotte's Web, which were Omrita RX, we had those strains. We had Swiss Gold. We had everything. And they took particular delight in stomping out what I believe was medicine that actually could have saved lives. So, in fact, they have blood on their hands. So I was arrested for three felony charges of cannabis and hashish trafficking, even though there wasn't any hashish. My bail was $1.5 million. I was in jail for 30 days originally, again another time for violating the gag order. I wasn't allowed to talk about the case because of the volatility locally. I was expelled from law school. The DA that was charging me was my professor at law school. I was running for mayor, developing the world's largest cannabis farm on federal military property. They want expensive condos. So as you can imagine, I was a burr in their saddle. And what ended up happening was, is I was arrested, I was charged. I ended up getting in a mandated jail racial fight, because in California all jails are racial, even though my leanings, quite frankly, are those more towards people of color. And you know, I don't believe in any of the bigotry that the Peckerwoods, of which I had to sleep with, felt. And but you have to do what you have to do in jail. And I eventually had a herniated disc from being thrown off the third top of the bunk, and it was a horrible deal. I had a back surgery. If anyone's had a dislocated L3, L4, knows what I'm talking about. So a lot of physical ailments, high blood pressure, stress, not only on me, but more importantly on my family. My mother, who's 70, she's been an RN for 48 years. I broke up a five-year relationship and partner with my co-founder, Novia Monterey. It had torpedoed any chance to be a public defender, graduate from law school. It's been a tremendous burden financially. As you can imagine, you know, you can't rent a house, you can't buy a house. All my assets are seized, all my phones, computers, genetics. You know, I'm hot, so basically nobody touches me in terms of in the business. If I'm found guilty, I'm banned from the industry for 3 years. And I think that's what they really want. I'd be financially devastated. So they play hardball out here in Monterey County, and they don't like marijuana, and they don't like me. They hate me. And but I'm not going anywhere. I'm much like you. I've dedicated my life to this. I'm surrounded by good friends. I have I've tapped into my feminine side. I believe I have a strong network of female lawyers and it's a feminine plant. And I believe women are taking us across the finish line here. Cheryl Schumann, Lynette Montian Shaw, you know, you have, you know, Elle Elston, you have Kristen Nevidal, Jamie Gerzot-Gur, you have all these amazing women. And and you know, my co-founder Noni, and my consultant and really close friend Kitty Merchant of KM Consulting. And I just feel blessed, and I feel even more blessed that I'm able to go on shows like this with activists like you. And Alabama is where Coast Graham wants to open up next. We plan to start doing mail deliveries there the day after my trial, which would be March 22nd. We have numerous clients. My graphic designer, Robert Whitworth, who's done all my memes, is from Alabama. He's one of my biggest supporters, and I consider him a team member. Multiple other people in Alabama, if I don't mention their names, but people don't realize that Alabama is like a hotbed because of Birmingham and what's going on at UAB Birmingham. And, you know, and you're like a legend out here, you know, Cher. I'm blessed to share your last name. Really, it's an honor because people know me because of you and what you're doing, and you know, the black community. You seem to be a bridge between the black community that's so important to Birmingham, with Martin Luther King, all the way to, you know, its current climate with Carly's Law and the people that were involved with that. And you have Deanna, who is a beautiful woman who is smarter than probably I've seen her eviscerate misogynists and anti-pot people on Facebook in a way that was just like, wow, like slice and dice. And looking forward to meeting her. And she brings kind of a sophistication, being from New York, to the movement. And I think that it's all going to coalesce with a team that hopefully Coast Graham can create in Alabama. And I believe with what's going on in Birmingham, it's right. So we plan to be there. You know, hopefully you guys lay the groundwork and we'll come in with the investors and the money and the social media, and we think that we could be the first open dispensary bringing in California Humboldt genetics with like a pipeline from Humboldt right into Alabama. And we just are all basically behind what you guys are doing. And
Hey, Kevin, let me interrupt. We're getting a caller in, and I'm not sure who this is, but I want to give them the opportunity to say something. They may have a question for you. Caller, go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? This is Noel Silva in Chicago. I just want to make a real quick I just want to say a real quick hi to Sherry Saunders. I told her I'd call in, support the show today. I really don't have too much to say. I got on here a little late, but I definitely did want to just say hi to Sherry, let her know, you know, people out here definitely listening. I don't know her personally at all, but I have been friends with her on Facebook for a little while, followed all of her, you know, her work out there in Alabama, and it's just an amazing person to at least be connected with, even if it is just digitally. She's an awesome person, and I just want to commend her for all her work. She also has invited me to do another show with her in the future, which I definitely am looking forward to. But just want to shout out to you, Sherry, and everybody else that's involved in the show with you today. Awesome job, guys.
Thank you.
Noel, my brother. Kevin, the words, I'm going to, for the integrity of this phone call, I'll save my tears for after, but I want the public to know one thing. That the reason why we are in this, both me and Deanna, here in Alabama, we have both suffered indignities that have left scars. And from that, like Phoenix rising from the flames, we are now these voices. And Noel in Chicago, my brother, you are in a war out there. In California, Kevin, you are in a war. In Alabama, you will get shot for a seatbelt ticket. We are at war with a police force that is owned by corporations and political officials that are deadbeat on putting us into jails to corral us and to keep our voices muted because you don't want to go to jail, so don't break a law. Well, how many laws do we need to create the revenue that's going to take to run these governments? Deanna,
right.
What do you think? How many laws, Deanna, do we need to create to continue to pay these politicians and their corporate whores that turn around and pay them back the money that they're going to buy these houses with so they can go get a whore and then turn around and fuck us again? So my question is, Deanna, fix this problem for us. Well, brother, I love you, what you're doing in Chicago, but Deanna, take it away.
Well, all I was going to say about that is they're going to continue to create the laws because – they profit from us breaking them. They profit from imprisoning us. So they're going to continue creating the laws and making it stricter on us and harder for us to live as a civilian who is free. Freedom is not correct anymore. There is no freedom in this nation. We wake up in the morning. We go to work. We pay taxes off of a day and a half worth of our labor before we even begin earning it. And if we don't pay taxes, guess what happens? We go to jail. If we, you know, everything that we do, we live and we breathe and we eat, everything that we do, there's a law behind it waiting to just grasp us and put us under. But whatever happened to no victim, no crime?
Well, I'll tell you what happened to that. They needed to create some revenue for some wars they wanted coming out of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. The 1972 Drug Administration schedule plan was nothing more than a way to create revenue with the cocaine, the crack, the drugs that the government put on the street so that they could arrest us. Now, we have 2 minutes left in the show. Kevin Saunders, I want you to finish up the show. Listeners, it's been wonderful. This was my first show. It's Deanna's first show. I hate to take it away from you, Deanna, but I want Kevin to finish this out. You got about 1 minute, brother. Take it away.
Thank you. Well, I just, yeah, you know, so goes California, so goes the rest of the country, and what's going on here is happening at a frenetic, very fast pace. Stay on Facebook. It's the platform that everyone's on. And realize that we have to keep these grassroots activists. Follow your fetish leaders like Sherry and Hezekiah Allen and Mike Checky and, you know, all the people that you hear on Facebook and realize that, you know, this is where the intersection of social justice, you know, pot is political science, history, economics, hydrology, biology, do everything, and money can flow, schools and recreation departments. We can empty our prisons. We can heal race relations. We can get our police off of steroids. And Jerry's right. You know, the police are our enemy. The enemy isn't ISIS. It's our steroid, uneducated police force. And, you know, support your politicians. People should run for office. Run for your city planners. Run for mayors. Jerry should run for mayor. I can't wait to get to Birmingham and scout locations. And shout out to Luke Wybienga and all the other activists. And thank you very much. Callie.
Yeah. Deanna finishes up, baby. Well, I guess we've lost Deanna, so I'll have the final say. Folks, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Marcus, appreciate the opportunity to give us this platform. I can't say enough, brother. Listeners, come back every week, 5 p.m. Let's discuss these issues and let's educate each other on how to get ourselves out of this mess that our politicians have legislated us in. Deanna, you back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay,
and whatever you guys need from Coaster Dam, whatever you guys need, I'll help promote or get more listeners and reach out to people like Russ Bellevue and Michael Morris with Nug Life Radio, and let's all come together and unite.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Deanna, take it away.
Thank you, Kitty Merchant of KM Consulting.
Huntsville.
She's doing a lot for the movement. And without her, Coaster Dam wouldn't be where it's at right now.
I am so excited to work with Kitty Merchant. I'm so excited to meet you guys. UAB and the ODAC Church of Inner Light from Warrior, Alabama, is going to pave the way for legalization of cannabis in this state. Everyone stay tuned to the march that we're going forward with. It is no longer time to sit. It is time to stand. It is time to forward march. And we're going to go forward, and we're going to make these things happen. It's time for a revolution. This is Jerry Saunders and Deanna Look with United Voices. Come back next week. We'll do this again.
Bernie Sanders.